WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
At the 1980 Democratic National Convention, Jimmy Carter committed a famous gaffe when he referred to Hubert Humphrey as Hubert Horatio Hornblower. If nothing else, that slip of the tongue attested to the enduring popularity of Horatio Hornblower, hero of a series of books by C.S. Forrester. The Hornblower books are being republished, and a new series of Hornblower movies is being made for television. Our book critic Maureen Corrigan is ready to sign on for these and future Hornblower voyages.
C.S. Forrester wrote his first Horatio Hornblower novel in 1937. At his death in 1966, he was hard at work on his 12th. By then, the Hornblower series had attained the status of a modern classic, lauded by the likes of Ernest Hemingway and Winston Churchill. But if the Hornblower books had never exactly sunk into obscurity, they have, over the years, become barnacled over with a crust of quaintness. Hornblower, no less than Tarzan or James Bond, is a man of action who espouses old-fashioned values like honor and duty. To polish up the series and to cash in on the current vogue for sea stories like Patrick O'Brien's novels and Sebastian Younger's A Perfect Storm, Little Brown Publishers has just brought out a new hardcover edition of Mr. Midshipman Hornblower, which is chronologically the first Hornblower story. Trade paperbacks of two more Hornblower novels will appear in the fall. I say, bring on the fleet. As a landlubber who doesn't know a jib from a mizzenmast, I'd always bypass the Hornblower series, thinking it too swashbuckling, too ahoy-me-hearties for my taste. Not true. If the rest of the books are anything like Mr. Midshipman Hornblower, then they're a salty treat for the mind as well as the imagination. I don't know when, in the history of aesthetics, adventure tales became classified as second-rate literature. Somehow I suspect that those champion wool gatherers, Henry James and Virginia Woolf, are to blame. But the Hornblower series reminds us, oh too sophisticated readers, that a great adventure story can be as breathtaking a work of art as any stream of consciousness rumination. When Mr. Midshipman Hornblower opens, the skinny, seasick, 17-year-old Horatio Hornblower is wobbling his way aboard his first ship. It's the era of the Napoleonic Wars, roughly the same time period covered in Jane Austen's novels. While Austen's young women struggle to stay afloat in the marriage market, Hornblower struggles to stay afloat in the Royal Navy. Each chapter in Mr. Midshipman Hornblower constitutes a discreet escapade. Hornblower, by turns, encounters the dangers of spark-throwing Spanish fireships, the Black Plague, and sadistic officers. Like Sherlock Holmes, Hornblower boasts a mathematical mind, and it's a pleasure to watch him, over and over again, frantically calculate a course of action that will veer him out of the path of certain death. C.S. Forrester was a champ at writing action scenes that give readers enough nautical detail to heighten our awareness of just how much peril Hornblower is in. Here's a passage from Mr. Midshipman Hornblower in which our hero, who's terrified of heights, must scale the rigging of an enemy ship by night in order to disable its sails. He hauled himself onto the topmast shrouds and began the final ascent, his lungs bursting with the effort. Here was the topsail yard, and Hornblower flung himself across it and felt with his feet for the foot rope. Merciful God, there was no foot rope. His feet, searching in the darkness, met only unresisting air. 100 feet above the deck he hung, squirming and kicking like a baby, held at arm's length in his father's hands. There was no foot rope, so that he could not make his way out to the yardarm. Yet the gaskets must be cast off and the sail loosed. Everything depended on that. Hornblower had seen daredevil seamen run out along the yards, standing upright, as though walking a tightrope. That was the only way to reach the yardarm now. Perhaps the thing that surprised me most as a first-time Hornblower reader is the current of melancholy that runs through these tales. Forrester describes the monotonous misery of life at sea, the months of wet weather and salt pork rations. We're also made to realize how expendable most of the seamen are, including Hornblower. Of course, he does survive, eventually attaining the rank of admiral. Here, at the very beginning of his career, the ship Hornblower serves on is called the Indefatigable. I have a feeling that's also the perfect word to describe the entire Hornblower series.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University.